Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us today as once again we face the issues. We're going to be speaking about a very, very important subject today. Keep in mind we're 26 days from decision, 26 days from victory or defeat, 26 days from making a transition from a constitutional republic with a representative form of government to a dictatorship form of government with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris at the helm. So the choice is yours. The choice is ours. What are we going to do? What will the decision be? How will we vote? Those are the questions we need to think about today. Those are the issues that we need to ponder and make a very somber, solemn, serious decision as to what we want for America, for the generations beyond us, for the America that we know today, and in the future tense, generations can talk about the America that used to be or that was. We're going to talk about those issues today. And let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. You can call in at your leisure. That number gets you direct through to the studios and right to our microphone so that we can have dialogue and discussion on the issue today. The subject we're talking about is countdown to victory or defeat, 26 days before election. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you once again, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said in John 8:31 and 32 to his disciples as he's speaking to them, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Then Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." And then again, Jesus speaks in John 17:17 and says, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the Word of God. It is the truth of the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word. We go from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation chapter 22. As we study the Scripture, we find that God created the home, He created government, and He created the church, and He did so in that order. So therefore, ladies and gentlemen, as we study the Word of God, we're looking at every aspect of human life, whether it be the home, the family, theological, doctrinal, biblical issues, or political, social issues, issues about the home, whatever it may be. We're talking about a biblical issue. So therefore, we need to understand that God would have us to do so based on truth. It was the secularist George Orwell many years ago that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And that's exactly what we see taking place today, ladies and gentlemen. If you watch some of the hysteria on the Socialist, Marxist, Communist Network news channels just in the recent few days about President Trump's going to Walter Reed Hospital to be treated, if you listen to some of those talking heads, you'll understand that they are deferring and detracting from the truth. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that made the statement, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death." And ladies and gentlemen, that should be our mantra today as Christians. As Christians, as patriotic Americans, and as conservatives, we need to be vitally concerned about the next 26 days as to where we're headed. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for homeowners with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time also carries a full line hurricane preparedness equipment with Honda generators. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment, as well as the professional lawn care or the homeowner's lawn equipment. Tools for Time is located, ladies and gentlemen, at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's where the gigantic flag flows. 165-foot flagpole with the Old Glory American flag flowing 24/7. That's the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Find the flag. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues we're going to be talking about today, as I said a moment ago, countdown to victory or defeat. 26 days to make that decision. In just a moment, after a brief monologue, we're going to introduce our very special guest today to have dialogue and discussion about the election, about the voting process, about ballot harvesting, about what's taking place in relationship to the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party and what they're attempting to do in these last days before the election. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to start our thoughts today based on the past few days with President Trump and his COVID-19 diagnosis. You would think that the whole nation would rejoice and be thankful that President Trump is out of the hospital and doing well. Oh, no, 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 no. That's not the case, ladies and gentlemen. The socialist Marxist media and the left on the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party, called the ones that are on the left, they're in a state of hysteria. They are finding fault in the physician statements. They're finding fault with what President Trump's doctor is saying. They're complaining about the medicine that the president was given. They're griping because he left the hospital. In fact, on one occasion, I was watching, just risking one eye, turned the dial to Communist Network News, CNN, and they were all in a hysterical mode, saying that President Trump had left without doctor's orders, that he had left against medical advice, and that he was a super spreader and he was going to leave. That's when he was making the tour in front of the hospital so that he could wave to those standing out front waving Trump flags and the U.S. flags. They're griping about every aspect of what's happened. He left the hospital and now he's back in the White House, and the socialist Marxist media said he will be a super spreader for all in the White House. He's dangerous because of COVID-19. Ladies and gentlemen, never mind the fact that all of his medical team assures us that he's okay, that he's not a spreader, that he's not one that could contaminate others even today. But ladies and gentlemen, you'll recall the fact that with the video scene with the president leaving Marine One. Listen, when he left the hospital, got on Marine One, then left Marine One right on the lawn of the White House, walked up a flight, short flight of stairs, stood between the display of American flags, and waved to everyone looking, did a salute to the pilots in the plane or the helicopter, took his mask off and made some statements. And his statement, ladies and gentlemen, with mask off, out in the fresh open air, with the wind breeze blowing from the propellers of the helicopter in his face, he said, "Don't be afraid of COVID-19. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's in exact opposition to what the socialist Marxist BLM Democrats want. They want you to be fearful, frightened, afraid. In fact, it is sad to see what is taking place in America today. Here's an article that says the decay of societal decorum. And then there's a couple of quotes, and I'll just give those. Warn to those that call evil good and good evil, the darkness for light and light for darkness, but put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, quoting Isaiah 5:20. Then C.K. Chesterton said, a society in decay, final or transitional, when common sense becomes uncommon. And then George Washington said, religion and morality are the essential pillars of a civil society. But this writer goes on to say, like seasonal flu, the incubation time of the Wuhan virus can be 2 to 5 days. which makes one wonder if the debate was the place the virus was transmitted. Well, we'll never know. But President Trump has been mistreated, maligned, impugned from the very minute he and his beautiful wife walked down the escalator to announce that he was running for president. We now have to wait for 7 to 10 days to make sure that our president is well. Then they go on to talk about the malicious assaults that's been taking place since he was elected president, even before going into the Oval Office as the president of the United States of America. But ladies and gentlemen, the Socialist Marxist BLM Democratic Party do not want us to be unafraid. They are counting on a fearful America. The Socialist Marxist BLM Democratic Party are counting on everybody hiding in fear. Joe Biden wants to shut America down again. He says that he will institute the national federal mask order if he is elected president. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be aware that the modus operandi that's being used with the Socialist Marxist BLM Democrats on the left is that of hysteria and fear. The more they can churn the fear, make you believe that you can't go out and vote in person, to cause you to believe that you've got to bow in obedience to the demand to wear a mask, to cause us to believe that somehow, some way, that the science that so far has been proven to be unscientific science, going back to the London Institute, where Professor Ferguson said that 2.2 million Americans would die if we did not institute a shutdown. Dr. Fauci, Dr. Tedros of World Health Organization, Dr. Birx, all of which harped on that mantra until President Trump was willing to say, all right, we'll shut America down. But ladies and gentlemen, there's been a total about face a half dozen times with the CDC and WHO and those that have taken the stand that are based on a outcome that they're seeking. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that we're in a battle, and it's a battle for the soul of our nation. In fact, in Proverbs 14:34, the scripture says, righteousness exalted the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Then in Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And I think we're seeing a time of mourning as a result of this whole fiasco called the COVID-19. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I must admit to you and say once again, COVID-19 is a dangerous pathogen. Many people have died as a result of it. But contrary to what was just proposed this morning on Communist Network News, known as CNN, when they used some data that was absolutely fraudulent, fallacious, wrong, and totally deceitful, they were talking about the minuscule number of people that died 2016, 17, 18, 19, and 20 with pneumonia and the common flu. They made it look as though it was minuscule. But ladies and gentlemen, when you look at the actual factual data and the figures that's out of the CDC, out of the National Health Organization, and out of WHO, World Health Organization, you understand that the numbers that we've had as the deaths, the mortality rate for the COVID-19 is minuscule in comparison to the mortality rate for the common flu and for pneumonia. And yet they have never, ever, we've never had it in America where day by day, moment by moment, there's broadcast on national news, so many more died, so many more were tested positive, so many more went in the hospital. Ladies and gentlemen, notwithstanding the number of cases that have been said to be tested positive, what is the mortality rate? It is minuscule. And as a result of that, we're still living under a frightening, fearful, hysterical mindset in our nation today. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted that we have with us today to talk about these issues, Daryl Kane. Daryl is the presidential candidate for 2024, not 2020, 2024. Daryl, thank you so much for joining us today, taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on Let's Face the Issues.
It is such a tremendous honor and a privilege, and it's just really nice to hear your voice. Am I coming through okay on the connection?
Loud and clear.
Terrific. Well, thank you so much for having me, and thank you to your lovely guests and audience for participating and listening to this very important message that you continue to deliver in the principally important location of Jacksonville, Florida, a place that is a critical battleground in the United States. And also thank you to our good friend, our mutual friend, Woody. God bless him, and I'm sure you're well aware of what he foresees happening in the coming days and weeks and months, and certainly makes a very compelling case on that. I think we're all in agreement that none of that changes what we're called upon to do, which is to continue to fight and claim territory. And it's an honor to be on your program, and certainly I'm sure we'll talk about some plans for the future and what we look to in 2024. But really, at this point, the only election of importance is the current one before us. And it's important for all of us as Republicans, as good, God-fearing Americans, to do everything that we possibly can to assist Donald Trump in being reelected, which is so critically important to the spiritual and economic well-being of our country. Obviously, we know Absolutely. So many of the things that will be coming should we fail to do so. And my thoughts on the election, the state of the election, and I know that we have some differing opinions, but I do look at the analytics and the data quite a bit, and there's cause for alarm for me for many reasons. And so for me, really the most important thing, obviously, we all have to go out and do our part and vote, but perhaps even more important than voting is to pray for his reelection. Because the way that I see it, much like 2016 really spoke to a divine hand at work in American elections, I think that something similarly miraculous would be needed in 2020. And frankly, part of the reason why I find some of the current events pertaining to his health and what's occurring as a sign that perhaps God is once again stirring and perhaps has some plans that, you know, I don't think we can really predict or anticipate, but I do find it very interesting and obviously important for all of us to pray for their health, first and foremost for Donald's health, as well as his wife and his entire staff. And perhaps we can be concerned about how they've all contracted it so quickly. That's a little bit suspicious, but obviously, as Americans, we can all pray for that. The reality is, with him having COVID, there's really two discrete outcomes. The first is that he would succumb to the virus. The second is that he'll emerge from it victorious with a clean bill of health and uninhibited by many of the protocols that Biden will be and have an ability to campaign in a very aggressive manner in the final weeks. So that's something very helpful. Part of the reason why I'm so concerned about this election, the fundamental trends that have been in place, that have deliberately been in place for the past 40, 50, I guess now going on 60 years, none of these trends have really stopped. So, and a lot of people will ask you know, why are the Democrats just continuing on with their insane radical agenda? After they lost in 2016, don't they get the message? When are they going to adjust? Well, I don't think you're going to see them adjust. And I don't think even, frankly, if we win again in 2020, you'll see them adjust, because the fundamental premise of their electoral strategy has not been repudiated. Just because we were able to win by a narrow margin in 2016, you have to remember with the Democrat Party, really, from a strategical standpoint, everything really boils down to the assertion that as the nation becomes increasingly non-white, it becomes increasingly difficult for the party that represents white working class people to win elections and eventually becomes impossible. And certainly when Texas becomes California, as it's on the trend lines to be in the next 10 to 20 years, that's certainly a point where we're at a game over. So, you know, they have a strategy that over time, with the factors that are in play, certainly work in their favor. So they're not going to adjust. They're not going to stop waging war on the church, on the American people, on God-fearing Americans, regardless of what happens. So this is why, and I think Donald Trump represents something so important. We have a real evolution in terms of what it means to be conservative in the United States. And the Republican Party has been in a defensive mindset for so long, and that has proven to be a a fatal error. And really, you know, we're going up against an opponent that does not surrender. And they are always on the attack, and we always seem to be losing ground to them and constantly resetting the boundaries. We have to become a proactive, aggressive, and meaningful conservative movement that doesn't just look to uphold and defend, but actually looks to claim territory. Because if this is a football game, we're on the one-yard line, or rather, they're on our one-yard line. So a defensive strategy is not going to work. We need to be looking to move the ball on the other side of the of the field. So our traditional paradigm has been about limited government versus larger government. Certainly limited government is always preferable, but I look at some places where I think we need more government, more laws. For example, taking a knee. Clearly, this is a deeply offensive topic. This is something that has destroyed American sports for so many people, have made them unwatchable for decent people. And I certainly understand and relate to that. I know that my interest level has greatly diminished. So I think a swift and easy way to sort of start remedying these things would be to make kneeling during the national anthem a federal offense. And that's something that I've called for and something that I'll be pushing for in the coming years and also going into 2024. And that's something that, yes, are we expanding the size of government? Perhaps so. But the American people deserve to be able to watch their sports without being lectured to by degenerate thugs and corporate perverts. And unless we start doing things like this and thinking in this mindset policy-wise, we're going to continue to lose ground. So it's a little bit of a tangent in that direction. Again, back to the main point, we need to get Donald Trump reelected in 2020. We need all hands on deck. We need an army of prayer, an army of angels. We need to be begging God actively for forgiveness as a nation and begging him for his mercy to give us, again, another four more years of reprieve from the oppressive agenda, the satanic theocracy, frankly, of the left, which is really exactly where we're moving. So thanks for being patient with me on a little bit of a lengthy introductory comment.
That is good. That's well said. In fact, as you have spoken, I think one of the key things that we need to recognize and understand is that prayer is more powerful than I believe most Christians recognize, analyze, and or give credit to. But it goes back to your statement. It reminds me of 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. That's a promise in the Word of God. And I believe as Christians, we need to claim that promise, if you please. Go before God and seek his face. And the term seek his face there means to seek to please him, to honor him, to serve him, confessing our sins. The sins personally and for the sins corporately of the nation, and ask God to heal our land. And only God can give us the victory in the next 26 days. Now, before we talk further about the political agenda and what's taking place with the voter harvesting, vote harvesting and so forth, I believe you are presently in the state of California, and I believe there's some things taking place there in relationship to the fires. Tell us about your safety and where things are with the fires. There's almost 5 million acres already burned. Tell us something. Give our listeners a little update on the fires in California.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the concern on that. Yeah, California is a disaster. I've actually been receiving some rather aggressive threats to my family's safety over the past several weeks, so I don't want to talk too much about my location. I can tell you that I've been in a moving pattern. The fires out here obviously are, I think, an ominous visual foreshadowing, perhaps, of the spiritual condition of the nation. And also, in a very real sense, speaks to the tremendous mismanagement that is occurring here in the state. Because a lot of what's happening is actually a direct result of negligence in terms of handling the locations of the fires and or rather the deforestation and how we approach that. So there's been some environmental concerns that have enabled the state from doing what has been needed to be done to prevent these events from happening. So California is quite literally on fire, And, you know, whether that's a reaction to what is occurring here in a spiritual perspective, or, you know, the quite literal negligence, criminal negligence that's occurred is sort of beside the point. There is a mass migration that is occurring out of the state, which is a good and natural thing. A lot of the money is moving to states like Texas. And, you know, that's perhaps a good thing, but they're also bringing some of their attitudes to Texas, which is not a good thing because Texas is a principally important state, as outlined earlier. To the topic of voter harvesting, if you don't mind us getting into that now, very important to understand. You know, this is very important to understand what's going on here because there's two sides to this. I mean, certainly, yes, there's a voter harvesting. There's an aspect that the Democrats are criminals and they will do whatever they can to get the outcome that they desire. But there's also, and that's, I think that's a very comfortable argument to make, but there's also sort of a less comfortable comment to be made. And when COVID-19 first came out, my first thought was, this is really going to be concerning because this is going to be very difficult for us to maintain the voting at the polls part of the process, which is now principally important, more so perhaps even than it's been in the past. And the reason I say that is that as conservatives, we often talk about being the silent majority. And certainly that was what Reagan rode to his very complete and thorough victories. I no longer believe that we actually do constitute a silent majority. And, you know, intellectually, we've talked about what will happen as a nation in a democracy once we reach a tipping point. And I believe that that tipping point has actually already occurred. So what I mean by that is that I believe that the good, God-fearing people actually no longer do make up a national majority. And what we're actually talking about is a faithful minority. And as we move to a minority status, I think that we need to be a very vocal minority. And the fact that we are a minority does not mean that it is impossible for us to be effective or to win. Because the analogy that I use is that if I've got a room full of 100 men, and you give me the 10 best men, I will have the other 90 men behaving appropriately in a matter of hours. So we no longer do have that majority that is silently there that will go out and win the elections. The reason why the elections remain competitive is because civic engagement is an inherently conservative trait. So our core group, our electorate, goes out to the polls at a much higher rate. But if you actually do person for person, the number of degenerate thugs greatly outnumber, unfortunately, the number of proper citizens that display proper civility and ethics. So what I mean by going out to the polls being an inherently conservative thing to do, what I mean is that it's not something that any person will just do. It is a chore, if you will. It is taking an hour and a half out of your day and going and doing something that you will not directly see the result in, because obviously your individual vote very rarely is going to make a difference. So, you know, it takes a person that actually really cares about their country to go out and do that. And of course, you know, that is a more inherently conservative thing.
Daryl, what was so alarming? Mm-hmm. Daryl, let me jump in a moment. We've got about 45 seconds before the top of the hour news break for 1 minute, then we'll come back. But before we get to that news break, let me just interject this, and I believe that you're on target with what you're saying. Most people are not aware of the fact that about 40% of the so-called Christians in 2016, about 40% of them voted for the party that stands for homosexual marriages, that is the sodomite marriages, that stands for murder by way of abortion, that stands in approval of kneeing the national anthem, that stands for the approval of anything that's antithetical to what we call biblical norms. And it goes back to a recent Barna report that said about 52% of the evangelicals disbelieve that Jesus Christ is God come into flesh, that he was simply God's first creation, and he was a good man and a good teacher. And that, I believe, is the underlying fabric that causes us to be in the position that we're in today with the nonchalant attitude from Christians about the voting. Daryl, hang in there. And for the rest of our listeners, don't turn your dial. We'll be right back right after the top of the hour news break.